Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 30 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Cody Robinson.
We really just want to bring her home regardless, no matter the outcome.
The search for a missing Garrett County woman continues this week.
The first mining death of 2019 is under investigation in Bell County.
Health officials say more cases of whooping cough are present in Louisville this year.
The Legislative Research Committee is asking for comments on the state's public pension.
The State Department of Education plans to help students be community leaders.
In sports, Rowan County's basketball teams hit the road this week while Moorhead State returns to Johnson Arena.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly cloudy tonight with a low around 23 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The Bell County Coroner's Office responded to the scene of a deadly mining accident in eastern Kentucky this morning. WYMT reports the scene is off Kentucky 2012. The cause of the accident and the victim's name are not known at this time. This is the first reported deadly mining accident in Kentucky in 2019. There was only one Kentucky mining death in 2018.
The search for a missing 22-year-old mother of four continues in Garrett County. LEX 18 reports Savannah Spurlock went missing on January 4th. Security footage from an establishment called The Other Bar shows her leaving with two unidentified men. Three men have been questioned in regard to her disappearance, but all have denied knowing anything. An anonymous tip led a search party to Cedar Creek Lake on Sunday, but no signs of Spurlock were found. Megan King is a friend of Savannah's who has been assisting with the search.
You hear stories on the news and you see posts and everything and you feel for it, but it's a different feeling when you're looking for someone that you know personally.
Anyone with information on Spurlock's whereabouts is asked to call the Richmond Police Department.
A death investigation is underway after a body was found in Lewis County. Officials responded to a possible body found near Rock Hill on Friday. According to the Ledger Independent, upon arrival, officials say they found a person's body at Kinnickinnick Creek near Kinney Road. Officers stayed on the scene for several hours to conduct their investigation while roadways were shut down most of the day. The name of the deceased is not being released at this time.
An inmate that escaped the Eastern Kentucky Correctional Complex has been captured. 40-year-old John Parrott walked off from a work release detail on Friday. Police found Parrott in his Morgan County home on Sunday morning. He's facing a litany of charges, including two counts of second-degree burglary, second-degree escape, and persistent felony offender first degree. The incident remains under investigation.
Lexington authorities are looking for three suspects who were reported to have robbed a man at gunpoint early this morning. The robbery took place in the parking lot of the Lowe's on Nicholas Park Drive. Police tell WLEX 18 that two men and one woman approached the victim, one carrying a gun. They allegedly left with the victim's cell phone and wallet. They were last seen driving away in a white Mercedes. The victim was not injured.
A part-time employee at the Floyd County Sheriff's Office was arrested Thursday night. WMKY's Haley Stidham has the story.
When troopers pulled over Brandon Martin, they say they smelled marijuana coming from the vehicle. According to WSAZ, Martin admitted to having smoked marijuana before driving, having pills in his pocket, and taking multiple Neurontin pills. Martin failed a field sobriety test and was charged with 10 different charges, including operating a vehicle under the influence, possession of marijuana and drug paraphernalia, possession of a controlled substance, among others. Martin was arrested and held in the Floyd County Detention Center before posting bail Friday morning. Floyd County Sheriff John Hunt says he is disappointed an official from his office is involved in these circumstances. For WMKY News, I'm Haley Stidham.
Search teams from Wolf and Powell County worked together to help an injured hiker. WKYT reports the teams got the call on Saturday afternoon. The hiker was found underneath a cliff ledge on Martin's Fork Trail, unable to walk on his own. Lisa Johnson is with the Powell County Search and Rescue Team. She says the man was fine, but advised hikers to be wary of the hazards of hiking.
trees are falling. Coming here today on one of the back roads, we had a rock slide. So there's a lot of elements out there you have to look for when you're out hiking. And I mean, you can have the best of shoes on, be the best hiker, doesn't mean you're not going to fall.
Johnson also emphasized the importance of packing essentials ahead of time in case you get lost or injured on the trail. The extent of the man's injuries are not known, but rescuers told Johnson he smiled when being escorted to safety.
A Kentucky city is reporting an increased number of whooping cough cases. The Louisville Department of Public Health and Wellness says it saw 62 cases of whooping cough in the last 2 months of 2018. It saw only 27 cases in all of 2017. Health leaders are now advising area physicians to test for whooping cough in patients with a persistent cough for 2 weeks or longer. The contagious disease initially resembles a cold, but it can become more serious over time. The best way to prevent whooping cough is vaccination.
We'll have a look at your region's headlines after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes and the Laughlin Building are open to the public, with 6 lanes for birthday parties, private groups, lane by the hour, or per game pricing. Also available is Cosmic Bowling for birthday parties with disco and black lights for that glow-in-the-dark experience. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m., Sunday and Monday by reservation. More information and reservations at 606-776-3457.
A Kentucky senator is scheduled to have a hernia surgery in Canada. WKYT reports the surgery was mentioned in a court filing from U.S. Senator Rand Paul. The procedure is reportedly stemming from injuries sustained when a neighbor attacked him in November of 2017. A spokeswoman for Paul was unable to explain why he's having the surgery in Canada instead of the U.S. The surgery is scheduled to happen later this month.
The Republican primary for governor is now a 3-man race. KNN's Will Clark has the story.
William Woods of Corinth filed paperwork with the Secretary of State's office along with running mate Justin Miller of Florence. Woods had stated his intentions to run for governor since March of 2018, running on a platform that supports generating revenue through legalized marijuana and casinos. He's also in favor of keeping state employee pensions at full funding while eliminating state lawmaker pensions. Woods is against abortion and pro-Second Amendment. He joins Representative Robert Goforth as the other Republican who has officially filed. Governor Bevin says he will run for re-election, but has yet to name a running mate. Woods was an unsuccessful Republican candidate for a statehouse seat in 2012. I'm Will Clark.
The U.S. Supreme Court is telling Kentucky's highest court to take another look at the case of a serial murderer on death row. The Supreme Court of Kentucky was today told to revisit Larry White's death sentence in light of a 2017 Supreme Court ruling. That ruling involved a man who claimed, as White does, that he shouldn't be executed because he's intellectually disabled. White was sentenced to death in 2014 for the 1983 murder of Pamela Armstrong, a 22-year-old mother of five. White had previously been convicted in the 1985 killings of 25-year-old Deborah Miles and 21-year-old Yolanda Sweeney. He was sentenced to death for their murders, but that sentence was later overturned, and White accepted a 28-year prison sentence.
Kentuckians are invited to share their comments on the state's public pension system with state lawmakers. The newly formed Public Pensions Working Group was created by co-chairs of the Legislative Research Commission, Republican Senator Will Schroeder and Republican Representative Jerry Miller. The 14-member group will conduct a review of the system's structure, costs, benefits, and funding. Bo Craycraft is a senior legislator committee analyst.
And so basically what they're going to do is they're going to kind of a little bit more significant dive into, like, what do the pension plans look like? Where are they at currently? We're facing situations where some of our plans are significantly underfunded. Others have seen funding levels kind of decline over the last decade, you know, trying to figure out why.
The group's first meeting will be held tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. in the Capitol Annex. To share comments with the Public Pensions Working Group, email them at publicpensions@lrc.ky.gov.
Anti-abortion lawmakers have introduced a slate of bills that would make Kentucky's abortion rules among the most strict in the nation. WUKY's Josh James has more.
The legislature's new official pro-life caucus is backing bills that would ban most abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected, add new controls on drugs like RU486, and institute a blanket ban on all abortions if the U.S. Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade. The heartbeat measure, Senate Bill 9, mirrors language that was struck down by the courts in North Dakota, and opponents are vowing a swift legal challenge should the General Assembly approve it. But lawmakers remain undeterred. Critics counter that SB 9 is, quote, blatantly unconstitutional and would ban abortions around 6 weeks before some women are even aware they're pregnant. Kate Miller with the ACLU says it was a day abortion rights groups saw coming.
I think the General Assembly has been ramping up to this, and there's no doubt that this is part of a national strategy to ensure that abortion is 100% inaccessible to every individual, regardless of where they are in their pregnancy, regardless of their personal circumstances.
Republican Senate Leader Damon Thayer says SB 9, originally slated for discussion this week, will be taken up in early February. Kentucky is currently fighting 3 lawsuits against other abortion restrictions passed in recent sessions. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
The Kentucky Department of Education announced a new initiative to help students become leaders in their communities. The Student Ambassador Initiative goal is to raise the bar in learning and to help close the gaps in Kentucky's education system. The students will be asked to do service projects that promote learning where they live. Dr. Wayne Lewis, the commissioner for the Kentucky Department of Education, says this is the foundation for the future.
Because if we're going to make the type of progress that we have to make with raising the bar, with closing the gap, we need their leadership.
Lewis says he hopes the Student Ambassador Initiative will give encouragement to kids from all backgrounds to invest in their education.
Nearly 1 in 3 American households experiences a dramatic change in income each year. New research reveals this could have a serious impact on health. Researchers collected data over a 15-year period from nearly 4,000 people living in 4 diverse U.S. cities. Study author Tali Afossi says they found a connection between unpredictable variations in personal income during young adulthood and an increased risk of heart disease or dying from any cause.
After you account for inflation, wages in the past 30 years have actually been relatively stagnant or even dropping. And there aren't that many mechanisms in place that really help families deal with the increased burden associated with these financial woes.
Alfossi notes that the largest income shifts were associated with nearly double the risk of death and more than double the risk for heart disease. The research also found high income volatility and income drops were experienced more by women and African Americans than white men.
Ohioans in favor of stronger gun laws are optimistic Congress will move swiftly to pass new universal background check legislation. More than 24 senators co-sponsored the Assault Weapons Ban of 2019, which would ban the sale of military-style assault weapons and high-capacity ammunition magazines. Toby Hoover is the founder of the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence. He says the measure would expand upon a past assault weapons ban that was in effect for 10 years, but not renewed.
They didn't really let it go into law as it should have been to start with. And when we see people using these kind of weapons to mow down children in classrooms, I think it's time we all step back and say some of these things have to be controlled.
At the state level, Hoover says gun control groups are keeping an eye out for new stand-your-ground legislation that would remove the legal requirement to retreat before using deadly force. Taking a look at your region's weather forecast for the week, tonight cloudy skies this evening will be partly cloudy after midnight with a low of 23. Tomorrow, an overcast skies with a high of 39 degrees. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low near 30. Wednesday, partly cloudy skies during the morning hours will become overcast in the afternoon with a high of 47 degrees. Wednesday night, cloudy with a low of 34 degrees, and Thursday, rain with a high of 44 and a 90% chance of precipitation. Current temperatures in your listening area are 30 degrees in Flemingsburg, 31 degrees in Maysville, 31 degrees in Ashland, 32 degrees in Grayson, 31 degrees in Inez, 31 degrees in Mount Sterling, 31 degrees in Lexington, and 31 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, Morehead State University's cheerleading team is heading to Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida this week for the 2019 National Cheerleading Competition. WMKY's Nacogdoches Miller has that story.
MSU has an award-winning history with the competition. The all-girls team brought home their 12th overall first-place trophy last year, bringing the team's total national championship trophy count to 43. Head coach for MSU's cheer team, Mark Coleman, says expectations for this year are no different in planning to protect the team's reputation as winners.
Well, our goal is always, you know, to uphold that tradition, which means winning. So we're gonna go down there as favorites in both of our divisions. But this year we're also competing in partner stunt. We've done that almost every year recently.
Three groups are competing in the 2019 competition.
We've got two co-ed couples and one all-girl group. And one of the co-ed couples and the all-girl group qualified in first place. So they are also favorites. So we could potentially walk away with four national titles.
Cheer members began preparing for the competition at the 1st of December. Coach Coleman explains how much training it takes to compete on the national stage.
Both teams practice twice a day for 2 hours each practice. So 4 hours a day for about a month gets the routines together looking the way that they do. Now the skills, like a lot of what we have incorporated into the routines, are skills that we've worked on all year.
Coleman says the teams also have lots of opportunities to perform.
Their teams are doing really well. We had several good performances this past weekend. I mean, that's really kind of the mode we're in right now, just trying to get them out in front of the crowd as much as possible. I mean, every year you have adversity. We've got a girl that's sick with a stomach bug that's been out, so an alternate's been in the routine at the last performance. We'll have alternates in the routine tonight. But, you know, we had one boy that missed an entire week of training because he had the flu right before Christmas.
The teams will be scored in three different ways.
The cheer is 35 points, you know, so it's a big chunk of the score. And the stunts and pyramids are both 15, so that's 30. And then we have a crowd tape that's 15% of our score, too, that shows all the things that we do throughout the year. So we have to, like, compile a crowd interaction, community service, game day footage of the stuff that we do throughout the year that is also part of our score.
Head coach and acting soundman Coleman works as the team's music coordinator, believing music plays a big factor in pulling the routines together.
You know, a lot of coaches have to be kind of jack of all trades. Now, I wouldn't say that most coaches do their own music. It's just something I've done cheer music for 20 years now, and it's just something that I can do. And it also offers me a lot of control. And things change frequently with the routines. I mean, we made changes today. And I'm going to go and change the sound effects of the music so that the music still fits perfectly.
As the Eagles head to Florida with intentions to add to their collection of national awards, you can catch the action live on ESPN January 18th through the 20th. For WMKY News, I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
It's 4:48 and 31 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Cody Robinson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this dreary Monday afternoon. Joe Lewis has sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Morehead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, pies, and cookies, scones, braids, and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups, and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
Rowan basketball hits the road this week. MSU finishes up its Music City trip with a win, and the NFL is down to its final four. Those stories coming up on your WMKY Sports Report. I'm Joe Lewis. The Rowan County boys basketball team gets back to work this week after dropping a tough road contest at Elliott County last Thursday night. Head coach Sean Thacker says there are positives to draw from that game, but in the end, what's on the scoreboard is the only thing that matters.
We can walk out of that game feeling like we have a chance. When you talk about the big picture, but at the end of the day, it wasn't good enough. And there's work to be done, and we have to get better.
The Vikings play their next five games on the road before returning home on January 29th. They head to Russell on Tuesday, Lewis County on Thursday, and then take on top 10 ranked Campbell County at the Coach Lake Kelly Classic in Fleming County on Saturday. The Rowland County girls basketball team is coming off a strong showing at the Kentucky 2A Championship sectional tournaments over the weekend. After taking down Floyd Central 76-71 in overtime, the Lady Vikings topped Bell County 82-55. Coach Matt Stokes says he was pleased to see the effort his girls put forth against Bell County after a tough game the night before.
I think we did really well. The first half we came out with a lot of energy and ready to play, and I was really worried about that because we used up so much energy Saturday afternoon in that game against Floyd Central. So I wasn't sure, you know, if they were going to be ready to play, had that energy to play. But they came out in the first half and really, really played well to get us a big lead at halftime.
The Lady Vikings next head to Owensboro to take on Glasgow in the Kentucky 2A State Championship on Friday. In regional basketball action in the Bluegrass tonight, Morgan County's girls head to Ashland Blazer. The Kittens are 10-5 on the season, looking to rally another win after a 62-48 loss to Boyd County. The Lady Cougars stand at 2-13, coming off a 55-52 win over Lewis County on Friday night. East Carter hosts Fleming County. The Lady Raiders stand at 7-8 on the season. They fell to Russell on the road Friday, 42-31. The Lady Panthers are 2-14 on their season, looking to break a 5-game losing streak on their home turf. Both games are set for 7:30 p.m. In boys' regional action tonight, Menifee and West Carter are slated to open the All-A Classic tonight at Fairview. The Wildcats are coming off a 91-75 win over Lee County on Friday. The Comets stand at 9-5 on their season, and tip-off is set for 7:30 p.m. 13-2 Elliott County has a bye in that contest. They will play the winner of tonight's matchup tomorrow at 7:30. The head coach for Morehead State University's men's basketball says he's noticing some improvements on the court. The Eagles improved to 5-12 on the year and 1-3 in OVC play after picking up a win against Tennessee State 74-61 Saturday. Coach Preston Spradlin pointed to his team's intensity and a 25-6 run in the first half to spur the win.
I was really pleased at halftime, and we told our guys what they were going to do. They weren't going to quit fighting, give them credit. Penny does a great job of his team playing extremely hard, and so our guys really found out what that meant to go against a team that's not going to quit and they're going to keep fighting. And so I thought we really executed tonight, which has been an issue for our club.
The Eagles return to action this week as they begin a 4-game homestand. They host Southeast Missouri Thursday for a 7:35 p.m. tip-off. The Morehead State women's basketball team is also getting ready for a home stretch starting this week. The Eagles picked up a win over Tennessee State Saturday, 85-62. They had dropped their previous two games, which head coach Greg Todd said was largely due to the injuries of some key players. But he says now that everyone's healthy, they can keep moving forward in the season.
It definitely makes a difference. So we just got to get back and get some practices in. We have some very, very tough opponents. It'll be nice to be at home, but we have four of the top teams in the league and a good home stand. So hopefully get some people out and have some good basketball games here coming up starting next week.
The Eagles will tip off against SEMO on Thursday at 5:05. And finally, the NFL's conference championship games are set. The New Orleans Saints defeated the Philadelphia Eagles 20-14 last night in the NFC Divisional Playoff to earn the right to host the NFC Championship game next week. They will take on the Los Angeles Rams, who defeated the Dallas Cowboys 30-22 on Saturday. In the AFC, the New England Patriots decimated the Los Angeles Chargers yesterday 41-28 to earn their eighth straight trip to the AFC Championship game. They traveled to Arrowhead Stadium to take on the top-seeded Kansas City Chiefs, who defeated the Indianapolis Colts 31-13 in their AFC divisional game on Saturday. The winners of their respective conference championship games will go on to face one another at Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta on February 4th. And that's your look at sports. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Joe Lewis.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball welcomes Southeast Missouri for an OVC doubleheader on Thursday. The women's game begins at 5:05 p.m., and the men's action tips off at 7:35. Tickets on sale from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell as the U.S. corporate earnings season kicked off. Concerns over an economic slowdown in China also dampened sentiment to start off the week. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 86.11 at 23,909.84. The S&P 500 was down 13.65 at 2582.61. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 65.56 at 6905.92. Citigroup reported stronger than expected earnings, and the stock was up almost 4%, and this triggered strength in most all of the bank stocks today. The J.P. Morgan finished up just over 1%. Bank of America was up 1.25%, while Goldman Sachs was up 1%. PG&E dropped 50% today. This as the company prepared to file for Chapter 11 protection. And of course, PG&E has been greatly damaged by the wildfires out in California in terms of the potential liability. Investors were concerned about fresh data out today from China that showed December exports and imports dropping unexpectedly. These figures deepened concerns of a slowdown in the world's second largest economy. In the commodities markets, oil was down 1.78% at $50.63 a barrel. Gold was up 0.2% at $1,292.10 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were down somewhat today, with the Stock 600 index finishing with a loss of 0.5%. In Asia, most markets were down, with the Shanghai Composite down 0.7%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 1.38%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs, while the worst performers were Merck and Apple. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Citigroup and Goodyear Tire, and the worst performers were PG&E and Newmont Mining. Turning out to stocks of local interest, it was U.S. Bancorp up 36 cents at 47.80, CSX up 5 cents at 65.27, Yum Brands down 95 cents at 89.99, Humana down $1.29 at 282.18, Walmart up 9 cents at 94.93, and Valvoline was down 3 cents to finish at 20.70. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one and two numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. More information at 784-1250.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, the Moorhead History and Railroad Museum offers vintage displays, artifacts, model trains, photographs, videos, and guided tours. The museum is located across from the Moorhead Conference Center on East 1st Street, open to the public, and admission is free. Hours are Fridays and Saturdays from noon to 4 p.m.
Now on display at the Rowan County Arts Center is an Artesian Frameworks exhibit, on display through January 18th. Open weekdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Admission is free.
Coffee Tree Books, located on Main Street in Moorhead, will host a book signing by author Charles Dodd White from 1 to 2 p.m. on Saturday, January 19th. The author will be signing copies of his latest novel, The House in the Wilderness. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Logan Pemberton, Chanasty Davis, Brian Courtney, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Haley Stidham, Chaz Jenkins, and Jack Cottle. WUKY's Josh James, KNN's Will Clark, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment this afternoon comes from WMKY's own Nacogdoches Miller. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH and Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cody Robinson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.